comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this planet. A beautiful planet indeed. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. That's a guarantee. I'm here because it matters, and so do you. Today in the United States of America is Veterans Day. Other countries around the world, not all, but many, are also honoring their veterans. They call it by different names, but they're honoring their veterans as well. To those veterans here in the United States, because I am an American, I want to thank you. You know, we talk about a lot of things on this show that some people don't want us to talk about, and we can. Because you did. You swore an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And then you did it. When a government employee or an agency of the government identifies our veterans as possible national security threats, that is a government employee or agency that has just admitted to being enemies of the Constitution. How in the world could the very people who put their lives on the line for our security and risk their lives for our security be a threat to national security? They cannot. But they are a threat to enemies of the Constitution, both foreign and domestic. And I want to thank you veterans for being a threat, a very real threat, to enemies of the Constitution, particularly enemies of the Constitution that receive federal paychecks and who have their hands on the levers of power in Washington. I want to thank you because you help us rein in power-hungry, temporary employees that we send to Washington every election. So, veterans, thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for doing what you did. Thank you for being a threat to enemies of the Constitution. May your threat to them increase. We are going to be open line here tonight, somewhat. I'm going to be talking tonight about some news that has just come out, having to do with the Kecksburg case. The Kecksburg case, of course, is the UFO crash in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, that occurred in 1965, and the really strange, convoluted, meandering, and inane trail that NASA has taken to keep from having to disclose what they know. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. I said in the opening of this show that I wanted to thank our veterans, and I wanted to thank them because they did take an oath, and they upheld the oath to defend, to uphold and defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Because they did, we can live in some measure of freedom and liberty, not as much as we used to have, and it is draining away. But what we have has been delivered to us at the hands of these very brave men and women, and we all owe them not just our thanks, we owe them everything else we say we have. It's possible because they did. And because they did, we can talk about things, at least for now, as I will talk about here tonight. And then we'll open up the telephone lines and go open line, and we'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about. But for some years now, the people in the UFO community have been following a case, a court case. It was a federal lawsuit filed by the Coalition for Freedom of Information back in 2003. The Coalition for Freedom of Information filed a federal lawsuit against NASA. And what they were seeking was the information that NASA had regarding what has come to be known as the Kecksburg case. Now, in 1965, in Pennsylvania, Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, people saw a fireball streak across the sky. According to witnesses, it did not crash into the woods, but landed gently in the woods. This object was located by locals, and it was located by members of the volunteer fire department that went to the scene in the event that perhaps whatever it was might start a fire. So they went. They found it. They saw it, and they have described it as being an acorn-shaped object, about 15 feet high and somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 12 feet wide. They said that along its lower outer band, it had some writing that looked sort of like some kind of Egyptian hieroglyphics. To make a long story short, the military showed up, particularly the Army, took control of the area, made everyone get back, get out and get back, told everyone that had seen it, that they didn't see it, don't talk about it. Witnesses saw the military load this onto a flatbed truck, cover it with a tarp, and drive away. There were other interesting things that happened. Severe intimidation of a reporter, a radio news reporter, and forcing him, apparently, to change the wording of a documentary, a radio documentary that he was doing, a report that he was doing about the Kecksburg incident. Over the years, the official explanations have shifted, just as they did with the Roswell crash. At first, the first explanation, the explanation du jour, was it was a meteor. When that fell apart, the explanation du jour became, well, it was the Cosmos 96 Russian satellite that was re-entering the Earth's atmosphere and crashing, and that's what people saw. The problem with that is that the United States Space Command determined that there was no possible way that it could have been the Cosmos 96 because the Cosmos 96 re-entered, crashed, and burned 13 hours earlier, and it crashed in Canada, not in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. The next thing that came along was, well, it was parts coming off of that satellite that people saw. And that just won't work either because scientists working for NASA have said that doesn't fit, it doesn't work, the trajectory was all wrong, so whatever it was not from that Cosmos 96. Now, somewhere here, if you'll give me just a moment, I do have a quote that I wanted to read. Quite naturally, since I want to read this quote, I can't find it. By the way, Leslie Cain is the person that the journalist that has been out front most with this lawsuit. She has been here on the show. It is in our archives in the K-Pods, so you may want to check that out. All right, listen to this. In 2003, in an interview, chief scientist for orbital debris at the NASA Johnson Space Center by the name of Nicholas L. Johnson stated this, and I quote, "I can tell you categorically that there is no way that any debris from Cosmos 96 could have landed in Pennsylvania anywhere around 4:45 p.m. That is an absolute. Orbital mechanics is very strict." So here we've got NASA scientists saying whatever it was not that Russian satellite. But now what has happened, the lawsuit was filed in 2003. And then it's gone to court. There have been, you know, lots of legal wrangling about all of this. And then the settlement came. This Coalition for the Freedom of Information, and this was something I was not aware of. Maybe I was. I just don't remember this. Anyway, this group had filed the federal lawsuit. In October of 2007, they settled with NASA. And the settlement was that NASA agreed to pay them $50,000 in legal fees and search some of their records. Now, I mean, look, this group maybe was under the gun for the legal fees, and maybe they just had to have the money. But that should have been a tip-off to them right there. NASA was willing to settle, willing to pay $50,000, and yeah, we'll look in some of our records. That should have been a tip-off right there. They were being bought. We're going to just pay $50,000 and make this go away. And yeah, we'll look in some of our records. Okay, so what did they look in? Did they look in the pertinent records? Or did they look in all of the receipts from McDonald's that Susie's secretary had in her top desk drawer? They spent 2 years looking, and they said, "We didn't find anything. We don't have anything." Now, it is 100% certain that NASA looked at this object. Now, we know that because one of their scientists said in an interview that he gave to the Associated Press that NASA had looked at parts from it. And to him, he interpreted it as parts of a satellite. And he said that NASA had looked at it, but that the records were lost for some reason back in the 1990s. So we know they looked at it, but now they can't find the records. Look, there is an alarming inability at NASA to keep track of their important stuff, like, oh, 40 or so rolls of film from the Apollo missions. Can't find them. Well, they got found, I think. But we don't know where they are. Tons of photographs. Can't find them. Records on a crash. Now, it's a crash that they looked at. They've admitted they looked at it. And they can't find records on it. But it looked like a satellite. Okay, well, let's see the records that show that it was a satellite. Let's see the records where sort of an autopsy was done and the parts are described, and maybe there's some photographs in those records. You had scientists looking at it. You were paying salaries for scientists to look at it. So where's the records? You can't find the records. I mean, look, this is, folks, this is what I'm talking about when I say that the spin doctors need to get better script writers. This is exactly what I'm talking about. First of all, there's a payoff, and yeah, we'll look through some of our records. After that, 2 years go by, and then they say, oh, well, guess what? We couldn't find anything. Now, this is this is not a brand new story. It's recent enough that it's fine. We can deal with this tonight. We can talk about it tonight. It's recent enough to be pertinent here. But this is what I've been talking about. When I talk about the obfuscation, when I talk about the blurring of the truth by NASA, I am not an enemy of NASA. I think we ought to double their budget. But I'm an enemy of this kind of thing. I'm definitely an opponent of this sort of behavior by NASA, who has their hand out to the public. And once more, I'm forgiving them more, but I am for going through NASA with a fine-tooth comb and getting rid of this sort of crap behavior. Number one, NASA has admitted looking at this thing. Number two, their scientists have stated there is no way that it was the satellite. Now a spokesman comes out for NASA and says, well, we looked at it, it looks like a satellite. When the scientists said there's no way, it could not have been the Cosmos 96, could not have been. They're on record with that. But a spokesman for NASA, script writer, didn't read what the scientists had said, I guess, comes out and says, we think it was the satellite. But we lost the record, so we can't prove that we thought it was a satellite. But trust me, we thought it was the satellite. This is unconscionable. I mean, look, this is so transparent, NASA. I mean, this is, you may as well be walking around the Johnson Space Center with saran wrap for pants. It's that transparent, and your butt is hanging out. You can't find the records, but you want us to believe it was the satellite. When your scientists said it couldn't have been, when the U.S. Space Command said it could not have been. Well, this is what I've been talking about, folks. This is it. This doublespeak, this obfuscation, I think this qualifies, at least in my opinion, it qualifies as outright lying. Now, this is what people should get fired for. This right here. So, number one, you're telling us that you looked at it. Number two, you're telling us it was a satellite. Number three, you're telling us you don't have any records and you can't produce the records. Okay, whoever lost those records and the chain of command all the way to the top that lost those records needs to be fired. Fired. Now, let's say that you looked at it and that your reports on this are classified. Let's say that you can't release that information because it's classified. Just say so. As a matter of fact, in the Freedom of Information Act law, you are required to report that to the federal court. If those records are classified, you are required to say so. So if you can't release them, okay. If they're classified, you just say they're classified. We can't release those. That satisfies all the laws concerned here. But you come out and tell us you lost the records. We know you looked at it and you lost the records. You have no files on this. You know, that just can't be true. It just can't be. You've admitted that you had scientists look at it. You've got pay records for those scientists. So we could identify the scientists, couldn't we? We could then interview the scientists and get them to reconstruct the drawings and reconstruct their reports to the best of their memory, couldn't we? What you're doing is hiding. Now, further proof, and let me say further evidence, that NASA is hiding is this. NASA's press office didn't immediately return calls for comment today. This report came out today. This is not new news, but this report came out today. Furthermore, the NASA spokesman that said that this was a satellite, they looked at it, but they lost the records. His name is David Stites. David Stites is on leave till next week, and according to his voicemail, he's not available. We'll be back. Making spin doctors squirm. Yes, indeed. That is what this is about. That's what I am doing here tonight. The story NASA has put out about the Keksberg, about their Keksberg files. You know, again, I'll say it again and again and again. Come on, guys. We understand cover stories. We know that sometimes, for whatever reason, you have to use a cover story. But for goodness sakes, with all that money, can't you hire better script writers? This is so paper thin, it's unbelievable. Your scientist, NASA, your scientist said it cannot possibly be the Russian satellite. The U.S. Space Command said it could not possibly be the Russian satellite. Over 30 witnesses saw this event. Some of them saw the object up close and personal. Your scientist, or at least, I don't know if he's a scientist, your spokesman, David Stites, admitted that you guys looked at it. You examined it. But then he said the records were lost and it appeared to those who examined it to be the Russian satellite. When your own scientist said it can't be, it couldn't be. As a matter of fact, the Russian satellite re-entered 13 hours prior to this event and landed. Its location, its crash location is known. It was in Canada. And then you come out with this. Your scientists looked at it, looked like it was parts of the satellite. And you even have one scientist that said it couldn't even be parts of the satellite because the satellite was on a completely different trajectory. And it went to Canada. It did not go into Pennsylvania. And he said orbital mechanics are very strict. And he said, I can say this categorically. This is an absolute. It was not part of that satellite. That's your scientist. And then you come out with this statement. Now, this is curious. It's curious to me because, I mean, what, you don't have a research staff that can go back and research all of the fabrications that have been told before so that you don't cross yourself up? You don't have a script writer that can do that research and write you a script that comports at least with what your scientists say? I mean, what you could say is, you know what, folks, we don't know what it was. You could say that, couldn't you? Or you could say, well, the records are classified, we can't release them. As the law says, you must, if those records are classified. So, what's the deal? I mean, I'm for doubling your budget, but this sort of stuff right here, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I don't talk in generalities. I talk about specific things that you guys at NASA do that are obfuscation, blatant blurring of the facts, and in this case, it appears to me, my opinion is this is just outright lying. I don't know who's lying. I don't know if the script writer that wrote the script for David Stites lied, or if David Stites lied, or I don't know. But the statement coming out of NASA doesn't fit the facts. And like I say, you guys, you know, I know you need more money, but you still, you've got billions of dollars. And script writers are not that expensive. You could do better than this. You know what would fit better? Just the truth. Just the truth. Like, you know, if those records really are lost, we need to hear from you who's being fired for that. Out in private industry, when important records get lost, people get fired. Sometimes they go to jail. Jail. Well, now that might be an interesting prospect for the people who lost important records at NASA. I want your budget doubled. And I want the obfuscators and liars canned. And believe me, I am not alone. The telephone lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. We will talk about whatever you want to talk about. I have had my soapbox, left foot and right foot, today. And I want to give you the opportunity to discuss whatever you wish to discuss. There's a lot of big stuff in the news. You know, the Vatican had this conference. And the conference that they held had to do with discussing the possibility of the reality of intelligent extraterrestrials. And that's big news. That's out there in the news. Gary McKinnon is in the news. They say he is suicidal. He's a nervous wreck who is on medication to quell his suicidal tendencies. And so that's being used to see if they can possibly help him escape extradition to the United States. So, you know, what do you think about that? Here we are, sitting in the United States of America, at least I am. I've got a picture of the Constitution up on the screen. It says we have freedom of speech. So, what is on your mind? What is it you would like to talk about? All right, now the telephone numbers are, the main number, 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. 888-223-4599. And we would love to hear from you. If I don't hear from you, then you will have to hear me rant forward on other topics. And maybe you want to. I don't know. Maybe you've got something that has caught your attention and you would like for us to talk about it. UFOs are not welcome stuff. UFOs, while it's the kind of thing you and I are interested in, and it's the kind of thing that millions upon millions of people on this planet are interested in, it isn't the sort of thing that is welcomed by the mass media. It's not the sort of thing welcomed by government leaders in many places around the world. But because of the fact that we have men and women who have put their lives on the line, wore the uniform, and who in some cases, many cases, paid the ultimate sacrifice, gave up their lives to defend the freedoms that that Constitution says we have. Because of that, you and I are able to talk about UFOs. We're able to talk about extraterrestrials and things paranormal that the status quo out there doesn't want us to talk about. 623-444-5889. In this Kecksburg thing, there's some very interesting information about this that just doesn't fit. Now, I read to you the quote from Nicholas Johnson. He said, I can tell you categorically, there is no way that any debris from Cosmos 96 could have landed in Pennsylvania anywhere around 4:45 p.m. That's an absolute. Orbital mechanics is very strict. The U.S. Space Command said it was not that Russian satellite. So what was it? Whatever it was enough to spur military types. I don't know if they were the Army or if it was who it was. Maybe they were Air Force. But they got in touch with this reporter who was preparing a broadcast to report on all of this stuff. And all of a sudden, right before the broadcast, he became very despondent, very agitated, apparently redid the script for the broadcast, cut out a whole lot of the stuff he was going to say. And, I mean, over what? A piece of a Russian satellite that fell? That doesn't seem very logical, does it? NASA takes a look at this thing, admits they've looked at it, tells us they can't find the records. They lost all the records sometime in the 1990s. Some of the people involved in losing those records, if indeed that's what happened, are still employed at NASA. The 1990s, some of those people will still be employed there. Who's being held responsible for the loss of these important records? Who? Now, one of the things that I think is a possibility here is that the people on the ground in Kecksburg saw exactly what they saw. You know, I make this point in my book, Mars, Maximum Mystery. It is possible for our eyes to see something that is an illusion. It is possible for us to misinterpret something that we see. Sometimes. But that's the exception. It's not the rule. Now, all of the UFO debunkers want us to believe, they would have us believe, that our eyes and our minds are deficient 100% of the time. Because 100% of the time, when we see a UFO, when it's reported, or someone photographs it, or someone gets it on videotape, 100% of the time, the professional debunkers come out with, well, that's probably the planet Venus, or, you know, it's just a flaw in the film, or it's a bug that flew in front of the lens, or, you know, and 100% of the time, 100% of the time, they want you to believe that you did not see what you saw. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As no one apparently wishes to call in, the telephone lines are closed. Listen to the click. Telephone line is closed. I may open it later. You apparently wish to hear me rant forward tonight, so I shall. I was talking about the fact that in my book, Mars, Maximum Mystery, I make a big point of this. The debunkers want you to think 100% of the time you didn't see what you think you saw. Look, it doesn't matter to them how clear the photograph is or how clear the video is. Now, this is an interesting thing the debunkers do with the photographic evidence or video evidence. If it's a little bit blurred because some people don't know how to take a photograph, and so what they do is they hold the camera still while the object moves. Then you get a blur. If you pan the object, keep it focused on the object, and snap, the background blurs, the object is in focus. But people don't know that. So they just, you know, whip out the cell phone, shoot a picture. Or whip out their little digital camera and shoot a picture. And it's a little bit blurry. Then the debunkers will say, well, all you've got is this, you know, like always, it's just a blurry photograph. You don't know what it is. That could be a bird. If it's really clear, they'll say, well, you know, this is really suspicious. That is so clear that it really looks like it's been hoaxed. So, you know, with a debunker, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And they think we won't see through this. They think we won't figure this out. But really, come on, debunkers. Your rear is in the breeze. We can see it. And then the next thing is they want you to think that you didn't see what you saw 100% of the time. It doesn't matter if there were 500 witnesses to this thing, 500 live, living, breathing, thinking, conscious, alert witnesses see this thing. Doesn't matter. You were all wrong. You were all misinterpreting what you saw. Your eyes were defective and your brain was deficient. All 500 of you. Now, folks, I mean, that's beyond any logic. That's beyond any reason whatsoever. It makes no sense. If your eyes were wrong 100% of the time, or if your brain was deficient in interpreting what your eyes see 100% of the time, you couldn't even function in this world. You'd be turning left when you thought you were turning right. You'd be in automobile crashes all the time. You'd be walking into the ocean when you thought you were walking into Walmart. So how is it that your eyes and your brain function just fine to get you from day to day to day? And, you know, you get through life, you drive your car, some of you fly airplanes, some of you ride motorcycles. some of you are artists and you got great eyes. You really are observant. Some of you are photographers professionally. You've got great eyes, really observant. But when it comes to UFOs, we're sure that you're well-intentioned and you really believe that you saw what you saw, and they're just patting you on the head like you're a little snot-nosed kid. But you made a mistake. How is that? 100% of the time, you didn't see what you saw. Your eyes just didn't function. Now, that's beyond the pale. That's beyond reason. That's beyond logic. That's beyond any rationale. That's nuts. And these debunkers, nobody ever really gets in their face and challenges them like this. Well, I say nobody does. Sometimes they do. But it's very rare that anybody gets in their face and challenges them like this. And so they get away with it on major media, but which is really these days fringe media. But they don't get away with it on shows like this. They don't get away with it, when they have to face someone in a debate like Stanton Friedman. But the debunkers use the same old tired tricks all the time. And here we have NASA using some of the same tactics, worn out, threadbare, naked tactics of idiot debunkers when it comes to Keksberg. And I say again, I know there are people at NASA listening to this, and I want you to know that I have the greatest respect for the real science that goes on at NASA, and I am a NASA supporter. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to support everything NASA does, and this is one thing I cannot support, and I will not support. This is threadbare. Again, you've got over 30 witnesses. Some of these people went right up to the object, saw the object. And your own spokesman says, you guys saw the object, you looked at it, and then you cannot find the records. They were lost sometime in the 1990s. See, here's another interesting thing that, as an investigator, I look at this. If you know they were lost in the 1990s, we have the end of the thread right there. We know where to start looking. Right there, we start looking where they were last known to be, and we start following that thread back. Somebody knows. Someone knows. If those records were packed up and shipped off to some secret, top secret agency or some top secret vault somewhere, somebody knows that, and then you can tell the court those records are classified, we cannot release them. And then you're in compliance with the law. What's the problem with that? Well, you tell us that your guys looked at it, and you tell us that it looks like the Russian satellite, but your own scientists and the U.S. Space Command both say that is impossible. And then you tell us the records are gone. The records could substantiate what you're saying. Is it possible the U.S. Space Command is wrong? Sure, anything's possible. Is it possible that your scientists that say there's no way this could be that Russian satellite, is it possible those scientists are wrong and the Space Command is wrong? Yeah, anything's possible. But look, folks, and I'm speaking about folks at NASA, look, folks, the records could substantiate your story. The records could substantiate that you looked at it and that it appeared to be parts of a Russian satellite. Without those records, here's what we've got. Hi, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. Without those records, what we've got is everything that looks like total, complete, inept fabrication. That's what it looks like. It looks like you paid this group off $50,000 to settle things down, promised you would look through some of your records, chose to look through some records that you knew would not contain this information, and then reported back, well, we looked, we couldn't find anything. But see, the interesting thing about this, your spokesman admits that you looked at this stuff, at the object, and your spokesman says the records were lost in the 1990s. If you know when they were lost, you know how they were lost, and you know where to find them. I'll be back in a moment. Moving from the Kecksburg story over to Gary McKinnon. Gary McKinnon. This is a very, very interesting, curious story. McKinnon, of course, is the self-admitted, self-confessed hacker that hacked into Pentagon computers, hacked into NASA computers, and he says he did this over a 2.5 year period. Now, I think that's the first curious thing right there. The first curious thing is that he got away with it for 2.5 years. You would hope, wouldn't you, that the internet and the IT security administrators at the Pentagon would be just a bit more proficient and a little less inept. But he got away with it for 2.5 years, and he's admitted that he did it. He says that he was looking for information, secret information about UFOs and about technologies that are being withheld from the world, technologies that could help the world, free energy, etc. And it sounds very altruistic, and he says that he did indeed run across information that talked about a fleet of off-world ships. And it had a list of off-world officers. And that has really, really sparked a great deal of conversation, articles, debate, etc. And lots and lots of people have jumped on to this bandwagon for and against Gary McKinnon. Now, the United States of America has filed extradition papers with the British government. The British government has agreed to extradite him to the United States to stand trial. According to the complaint filed by the United States Department of Justice against Mr. McKinnon, he did hundreds of thousands of dollars in damage to the computers. And granted, this was not very smart for him to start doing this when he did. Well, it's not smart to do it anyway, but he started this shortly after 9/11. He started this shortly after September the 11th. You would think they would have caught on right then. Now, let's say they did. If they did, why did they wait 2.5 years? Why did they let him continue for 2.5 years? If they didn't catch him right then, or almost immediately, then the question is why? Who was asleep at the switch? That's a head that needs to roll. That's someone who needs to be, if not fired, demoted to the lowest levels of the organization. If they did not catch him for 2.5 years, see, if they caught him and they right at the beginning, and then a decision was made to let him continue, here's the deal. If they let him continue, for whatever reason they let him continue, they are responsible, in my opinion, for whatever financial damages were done. It was their action that permitted it to happen. That still doesn't excuse what he did. Now, if they didn't catch it, and we go 2.5 years before they catch it, again, the person who was supposed to catch it is a head that needs to roll. They either need to be fired, or they need, at the very least, to be demoted to the lowest levels of the organization. Now, as I said, that still does not excuse what Gary did. And he's admitted that he did it. He left some nasty notes in there for them to find. And he has admitted on British television, he's admitted in the newspapers, he's admitted it in radio interviews, that he did it. So here's the question that everyone's debating, and we can't solve this here, and I've already expressed what my opinion about this is. But the big question is, should he be deported, or extradited is the correct word, to the United States and stand trial here for his computer hacking crimes? If he does, if that happens, he is exposed to a possible 70 years of prison time. Effectively, that means life in prison. He'll never get out, and he'll die in prison if he gets all 70 years of it. And so a lot of people, you know, are debating, and they're saying, well, you know, all he was doing was looking for UFO stuff. And, you know, they don't want that uncovered, and that's why they're going after him, because he found UFO stuff. And so that's why they're going after him. Well, I don't think that's the case. He may have found UFO information, but I don't think it is at all the case that Gary McKinnon is being targeted because of that. Now, here's why. The reason why is because there is now a quite open discourse in very high places about UFOs and extraterrestrial reality. Well, we've heard the report. I did several shows right here, and I had the people who were the source of the information on the show, the Pickering brothers. You remember? We have this information that February the 12th, last year, there was this big secret meeting held in the United Nations building in New York City. It was not a UN General Assembly. It was not a meeting that was put on anybody's itinerary, anybody's agenda. It's just one of those impromptu meetings where they called a few folks together and said, here's some information you need. Now, at this meeting, according to the report, what happened was the United States representative there, it was not our UN representative. We apparently sent a guy who is a naval officer. There may have been some other military people there too. And they did a presentation to a group of about 30 people representing about 30 countries. And in this presentation, they presented the case that extraterrestrials are real. They visit this Earth, and we have had contact with them. And there is coming, fairly soon, an unambiguous appearance of extraterrestrials on this planet. And so we have a very short period of time in which to acclimate the Earth's population to the idea that extraterrestrials are real. So there was a lot of debate, you know, about whether or not that meeting actually took place. We did several shows on this. I've had Dr. Michael Sala here talking about it. I've had Dick Criswell here talking about it. I've had the Pickering brothers, who were the source of the information that got released to the public about this meeting. I've had them here talking about it. And so there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of debate about whether or not this meeting actually took place. But then, right after this meeting, we started seeing interesting things happening around the world that look like they are following the stated agenda that came out of that meeting. According to the information that was released to us, the nations of the world would begin making a steady move towards disclosure. After that meeting, that's when you had, you know, France released all of their stuff about UFOs. The UK said they were going to release all their stuff about UFOs. I think Sweden is one that released their stuff about UFOs. Of course, Mexico and Brazil have been releasing information on a fairly regular basis for a while. But shortly after that meeting, all that started happening, and then you had the Pope who said positive things about the possibility of extraterrestrials. Monsignor Balducci has been talking about UFO and extraterrestrial reality for a number of years, and he's not been censored or sanctioned by the Vatican. The Vatican doesn't step in and say, look, stop it. They don't do that. They let him continue to say what he says. And then we have the chief astronomer for the Vatican Observatory that comes out just a few months ago and says, well, look, you know, if extraterrestrials, you know, if they're out there, believing in them, believing that they're there, is not any kind of violation against the church, and it's not a violation against the Bible. And now we have had this meeting at the Vatican just within the past 48 hours, a meeting at the Vatican with representatives of about 30 countries and organizations. And what are they doing? They are discussing extraterrestrial reality. So we see this steady progress that looks like we're headed for disclosure. Maybe we are, maybe not. We'll have to wait and see, but it seems like we're headed that way. Now, when you put all of that together with the Gary McKinnon case, it doesn't make sense that they would target McKinnon simply because he was looking for UFO information. That doesn't make sense. Not if everything in the world, at the top of the world, at the top of the power piles, is moving towards disclosure. It doesn't make sense that you would target McKinnon and say we're going to put this guy under the jail because he was looking for UFO information and found some. That doesn't make sense. Now, whether or not McKinnon's case merits 70 years in jail, I think, is a matter for tremendous discussion. On this show, I read the sentences that have been handed down to the worst computer criminals in American history. The longest sentence for the guy they said was absolutely the worst computer criminal that the Justice Department had ever prosecuted. His name was Mitnick. Remember him? The worst sentence was his. He spent, I think it was 5 years and 8 months in jail. And they're talking about McKinnon with an exposure to 70, that's 7-0, 70 years in jail. How does that make sense? It doesn't. It just doesn't. So the question is, what is it that McKinnon saw? The story that it's all about, UFOs, I don't think that holds water. I don't think that holds water at all. Because we're seeing this worldwide move toward disclosure. In fact, in the European Parliament, there is a member of the European Parliament that is pushing hard. He's really, really pushing hard to try and get disclosure to get that as a matter of law in the European Parliament. Let's see. I've got his picture here, but I don't see his name. Here it is. Mario Borghesio. So he's Italian, Mr. Mario Borghesio, and he is attempting to have created by the European Parliament a European Commission on UFOs. And he wants to see legislation passed that will tell all the member states of the European Parliament to do disclosure of their UFO secret files. All right, so you've got this move in the European Parliament. You've got the move of the Vatican. You've got this move among several countries that are opening their UFO files. And you've got this meeting that took place, apparently, February the 12th last year, led by an American service member, in which UFO and extraterrestrial reality were disclosed to about 30 countries. So with all of that moving toward disclosure, it doesn't make sense that they're targeting McKinnon simply because he was looking for and perhaps found information about UFOs. There has to be something else here. There has to be something else McKinnon saw, or they think he saw. there has to be something they think he saw that is really hot. You see, this whole thing about disclosure is not that hot. Oh, it's interesting, but it's not that hot because, I mean, you know, whatever is just is. And if these guys are for real and they are coming here very soon in an unambiguous display, then it will just happen. And we'll see it and everybody will know. And so disclosure is sort of a moot point at that point, isn't it? So if that's for real, then it makes no sense that they would be targeting McKinnon over that kind of information. So what is it that he really saw? What did he really learn? Or what is it they think he saw? It's got to be hot. It has got to be red hot. Then, of course, there's always the possibility that none of that scenario fits at all. There is always the possibility that it is just the fact that he broke into their computers. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Scott in L.A.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, listen, I missed the beginning of your show, and I think I didn't hear all of it yesterday either, so I don't know if you brought this up or not, but you're kind of interested in NASA pulling the wool over our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I just read an article by Buzz Aldrin from Apollo 11.
Yeah.
And he talks about this Ares 1 rocket that was launched last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, I'm going to read this very, just a salient part here. He says, yes, it looked like an Ares 1, but that's where the resemblance stops. It turns out that the solid booster was literally brought from the space shuttle program. Since the five-segment booster being designed for Ares wasn't ready, so they put a fake can on top of the four-segmented motor to look like the real thing. Since the Ares upper stage rocket engine, the J2X, wasn't ready either, they mounted a fake upper stage. No Orion capsule was ready either, so you guessed it, they mounted a fake capsule, which with a real-looking but fake escape rocket that wouldn't have worked if the booster had failed. And since the guidance system for Ares wasn't ready either, they went and bought a unit from the Atlas rocket program and used it instead. Basically, what we saw was just a sleight of hand. It wasn't even really what they were telling us it was.
I'm not surprised at all about that. Are you?
Actually, I was. I was quite surprised.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. You know what surprises me? That Buzz Aldrin is out there telling us this. That surprises me.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, the post that he made, it's out on the Huffington Post. If you're interested, you can find it out there, and so can your listeners.
All right. Now let me ask you this. Scott, are you a first-time caller?
No, I've called in before.
You've called in before. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, let me ask you this. What do you think about the Kecksburg thing that NASA has just pulled off?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they say, in response to a lawsuit, that they don't have any records of the Kecksburg crash, which was some sort of a UFO. But then they've got their own, they've said, well, maybe it was a Russian satellite that crashed, and their own scientists and the U.S. Space Command say that's not even possible. It's just absolutely not possible.
You know, I've heard a little bit about that, Kevin, but I can't really comment on it because I don't know enough. So
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to comment.
All right. Well, look, thanks for the call.
Okay, you bet.
All right. Okay, so Buzz Aldrin is out there saying this stuff, and that's good. That's outstanding. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from? Okay. Well, that's okay, because we have a break coming up here in just a few seconds. We'll take the break, and I guess I'll open the phone lines after that, and we'll see if anybody else gets up the courage to face their phone in the dead of the night. We'll be back. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's open line live tonight. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Now, if you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can go to my website and send me a flash message. You just go to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see the link that says flash message. And click that, type your comment or your question. It will come to me, it will begin to flash on my screen over here, and then I will know that I have received a flash message. As long as it's from outside the USA, outside of Canada, I'll read it, we'll discuss it on the air. But if you're in the USA or Canada, there's no reason not to call me, because we have telephone lines, you have telephone lines, and I will even pay for the call if you need to call me on the toll-free number. Again, the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. That's the main number. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Now, the question that is really up for grabs here, based on what Scott said, our caller from out in California, the question that's really up for grabs here is, what's up with Buzz Aldrin? Now, I've been wondering that question. I've been wondering about the answer to that question for a number of years because, you know, he'll say they saw something that, you know, was not part of their spacecraft, and it was a UFO, and then he comes back and says, I never said that, and then he says it again, then he says, I never said that, and then he tells us there's a monolith on the moon of Mars by the name of Phobos, and that we need to go there and forget about going back to the moon. And then now, this disclosure that NASA hoodwinked everyone on this test flight. What's up with Buzz? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin.
Hi, Stefan.
Kevin, I'm not sure what the buzz is regarding Buzz, but in regards to Gary McKinnon, it seems to me that one of the big questions regarding that whole thing is not so much what he saw, but what would happen to the whole disclosure movement if he got extradited. I mean, that would fire up the matches of everybody within the whole field, I would think.
Yeah, but see, the government doesn't need to fire up the disclosure movement. It's fired up. It's been fired up and running, you know, hitting on all cylinders for years. And you know, if this story is true, Stefan, it's a big if, but if that story is true about that meeting on February the 12th last year, it was a meeting led by a U.S. government, U.S. military service member, and it was a meeting to push everyone towards disclosure. So if that's true, and if that's the direction we're headed, I don't see that McKinnon looking at UFO stuff would be of any interest to them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And that's why I say, look, it's all circumstantial evidence. I admit that. But there is a lot of circumstantial evidence that that meeting did take place, and that they are now following the agenda that came out of that meeting. All right, well, now, if assuming that's the case, And here you've still got them pursuing Gary McKinnon, and he's facing 70 years. There's got to be another reason, and it's got to be red sizzling hot.
Agreed. Because what I'm wondering is, what would happen to Gary if disclosure happened and all the allegations about him and everything came out in the open? I mean, they would have to probably re-examine that case, don't you think?
Well, see, I don't know. In their official complaint, I don't believe that, and I've read it. You can find it online. I don't believe they even mention anything about the UFOs or anything like that in the complaint. They do mention specific computers that and systems that he went into, and it lists the damage that he did in each one of them, and what the dollar amount was to repair that. So, you know, look, the whole thing smells. Look, here's a guy with a dial-up modem that's in traipsing around in Pentagon computers and NASA computers for 2.5 years, and nobody noticed. Heads need to roll over that.
Yeah, and well, apparently,
if they did notice and they decided, let's just see what he's going to do. Okay, then how can you hold him responsible for what you let him do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I worked as a security guard in my younger years when I was in my 20s, and I can tell you for a fact that in most high-level government buildings, people do not enable password protect on the computers, and most of the people leave their computers on during the night.
Well, heads need to roll. You know, I mean, that's it. And, you know, see, nothing about this whole case makes any sense at all. Why didn't they know immediately? I mean, we'd just been through 9-1-1. You would think this country went on lockdown and has not fully come out of it yet. I mean, they grounded every plane except the bin Ladens.
Yeah.
They grounded every plane. And we went on lockdown. And we're still, we're living, you know, I don't know what this is. This is absolutely foreign to the America I grew up in, but we're living in it. All right. Now, with that kind of mindset in the country, you would think they would have immediately notice someone was traipsing around in their computers, but they didn't. And so,
what's about computers to do it though?
Well, every government agency that has a computer system has an IT administrator.
Yeah.
And those people are supposed to be the experts. They are the people who are supposed to know. They've got degrees in this stuff. And
maybe they just got too comfortable within their walls.
Well, you know, then heads need to roll.
Yep.
And but then, you know, 2.5 years go by, and they finally catch on, and they catch him, and now he's exposed to 70 years of possible 70 years of jail time. And see, nothing about this whole thing makes any sense. At least it doesn't to me, and if anybody can make it make sense to me, I would appreciate it. It makes no sense. The government side of this makes no sense. McKinnon's claim that he was just looking for UFO information makes no sense. The UFO community's claim that McKinnon was just being targeted because he found UFO information, that makes no sense, not in light of the events that have transpired. So
I don't think he was the only one to have gotten in.
Oh, certainly not. But here's the deal.
Probably a whole bunch of them.
Here's the deal. If McKinnon got in there and found, or they think he found, something really, really juicy, I mean, it would have to be beyond the UFO thing, because they're already moving towards disclosure on that. He found something really juicy, or they think he did. Now, that would make sense.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I can think of that would make more meat or more juice than the disclosure would be a private fleet, that we have our own private fleet.
I don't think so. I mean, that information about that's been around for a while. But yep. What if he found out for sure that they have and are using free energy technology, or that they have and are using technology to transport people to the transporter room on Star Trek, you know?
Yep.
To a teleport, that's it. Teleport. What if he found that? Now, see, I mean, look, that would be really juicy.
It's going to be really interesting to see where we go from here, Kevin.
Yeah, it will be, and I'll tell you, I don't think that his trial, once he gets here, is going to be very public.
No.
I think we will not know much.
I'm still not sure on whether or not he's going to be extradited. I think that if he gets extradited, it's going to really, really cause an international, well, at least within the ufology community anyway. But now he's even got rock bands going for him.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, look, you know, one of the things is this. He is a criminal. He's admitted that he did the crime. And he should stand trial, and he should have to pay for it. But 70 years? When the very worst computer criminal that we have ever prosecuted, this is a matter of absolute verifiable fact, was Mitnick. He's number one, according to the Justice Department. And he got, it was either, he did 5 years and 8 months. I think he had a six-year sentence, something like that. But he did 5 years and 8 months in jail, and then he got out. And he's the worst. And McKinnon is facing 70? Come on. There's parts of this story that we don't know.
It's a sensitive thing to say on Memorial Day, but I mean Veterans Day, but would we have sentenced someone to 70 years that had cracked into Hitler's computer forces if they had existed back then?
Well, as long as they worked for us, we would say they were heroes. But, yeah. See, that would be one of the questions. Who does McKinnon work for? He says mm-hmm. for nobody, you know. But that would have to be one of the concerns, is either who does he work for or who has he talked to about what he saw?
Well, he's been pretty nice so far, it seems, at least in public. He hasn't made a DVD or anything like that openly revealing what he saw. I mean, he's stated some things, but he hasn't given any really juicy details.
Yeah, yeah. But see, from start to finish, if you look at it from the government side, if you look at it from McKinnon's side, you look at it from the side of the UFO community, none of the arguments make sense.
Yeah,
on any side, none of it makes sense.
Yep.
All right, Stefan, thanks for the call.
Yep, thank you, Kevin.
All right. A lot of things in this world don't make sense. Lots of things. This is just one of them. Maybe you think it makes sense. I don't know. To me, it doesn't make sense. I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, let's say that this was laid on my desk and I'm the police investigator. From the standpoint of the investigator, nobody's claims here make any sense. Nothing fits. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Lyle.
Hi, Terry. Terry, in about 20 seconds or less, the break is going to take over. Do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back to you first up when we come out of this break. Nothing about this McKinnon case hangs together logically, at least with the information available to us at this point. I'll be back. Sounds like Arnold, doesn't it? Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Terry, you still with us?
Sure am.
All right. What's on your mind this evening?
Yeah, that thing, well, as far as McKinnon, if, you know, if I was him, and he really knew something, I think that the government wouldn't even mess with him, that, you know, they would send a few guys, you know, to pay him a visit. Because if I was him and I really knew something that they didn't want me to say, I don't want to say the words of blackmail, but, you know...
You would negotiate, huh?
You know, you ain't gonna mess with me, you know, because I got this evidence and I've, you know, given it to so-and-so and, you know, so go away and leave me alone, you know. So I don't think that washes, you know. I think it's more like, you know, the war on drugs, you know. The little drug user, you know, and small-time pusher, whatever, user, they're the ones that pay the price. They very rarely get the big boys. You know, and it's the same thing with him. You know, they're trying to stop the little guy who might find out something, you know, to share with the rest of us, you know, that would, you know, benefit us. You know, that's my guess on it.
Well, that may be the case. Nothing about the information, based on the information available to the general public right at this point, my assessment is nothing about this from anybody's angle makes any sense at all. Nothing about it makes sense. But, you know, maybe there's information, and I'm sure there is, that has not been released to the public. Maybe there are reasons that we just don't know about that would justify him facing 70 years. But based on what I've seen, I do think he should stand trial. I do think that should happen. But I don't think he should be facing 70 years. My goodness. I mean, that's more than most murderers get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I don't think that would even happen if they did get a hold of him, you know, because, you know, 99% of the time, you know, they say, you know, you're facing, you know, this or that, you know, and, you know, majority of the time, you know, it don't, you know, add up to, you know, 10, 20% of that, you know.
Well, I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out. As it stands right now, nothing about this case makes any sense to me.
Yeah.
Terry, thanks for the call.
But, you know, I think that's, you know, it's just all goofy.
It is. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I've got a couple of flash messages I want to get to, and one of them is from Blue in Australia. It says, "Hi, Kev, let's remember all those brave souls who gave their lives for our freedom, liberty, and social justice. For all in the free world today on the 11th of November, 1918. Furthermore, their sons would have to fight for it once again, 1939-45, and throughout the Cold War. Let's not forget today as their grandsons and daughters are in Afghanistan and Iraq. People, let's not give away our freedom, liberty, and social justice for greed. Cheers, Blue." Yeah, I agree with that. This is from Andrew, also in Australia, and it says, "God bless all the servicemen and women of our great countries. How much we share gratitude for the courage and selfless service of those who fought for our freedoms. Thoughts also go out for the families who have lost loved ones due to war. The other side, the governments, who stand there in the media at these services, why don't they tell you, these servicemen and women, about cannon fodder, experimental operations, including radiation, biological staging of false flag events, and other experiments such as vaccines that you signed off, to use on those brave people? Then there is the fact that the private world banks get rich from lending the money for weapons and then also lend to rebuild the countries after after all of the war at interest payable from the people. Probably not the day to raise those issues above, but if nothing is said, how will people know that our trusting governments and those who run our governments, known as the secret government, are really up to behind the scenes? So to those government officials who stand proud as the media puppet for those events, think real hard just which side you are really on. Are you at the service for the people, or at the service for the one world dictatorship full of deceit, secrets, and lies? We cannot let happen what our servicemen and women died to protect us from, fascist tyranny. And that's from Andrew in Australia. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. You'll have to make it quick because we're almost out of time. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Kevin, real quick, I just want to throw a theory out there. Maybe McKenna was just being your classic hacker looking to raise, you know, some cane in there, and somebody on the inside in charge of their security saw this as an opportunity to let information out without jeopardizing themselves, and let McKenna poke around until he found what he needed to find, if he truly found it, and then, you know, blew the whistle on this guy to protect themselves. Maybe it was an effort at some person inside that facility to get information out.
Now, that's an angle I had not considered. I have to admit that. I had not considered that at all, but that's interesting. Maybe it went that way.
Yeah, it's just such an odd case. It really is. Like you said, it's so hard to figure out what's going on, but I guess in the whole illogical part, everything could possibly be a logical answer to it. So,
well, there may be. This may be a whole comedy of errors.
Yeah.
You know, there may be a whole fistful of people whose careers are on the line here, and they're protecting their backside, or as we used to say in police work, CYA, which of course means cover your burrow. And so there may be a lot of that going on. I don't know, but you know, as an investigator, based on the information that's available to me, just as a member of the general public, but I look at it as an investigator, I don't see anything about this that makes any sense.
No.
It's nothing about it seems to hang together. If indeed they want to just go for, you know, he broke into our computers and that's what we're prosecuting him for and that's it, then what's the deal with, you know, 70 years exposure?
Yeah,
that makes no sense.
Heavy.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Kevin, I appreciate you keeping us in the light.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the call.
Thanks.
All right, folks, that's about it for this evening. We're just about out of time. It's been my pleasure to be here, and like I always say, I'm here because it matters, and you matter, and this information matters. It really does. It's not the kind of stuff that you're going to get out of the so-called major media. I understand that. But it's important. And the only place to get it is here and shows like this. All right. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.